Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Hola! Does it feel like the dog days? Does it feel like summer? My gosh. It is hot. As in H-A-W-T. I feel like that's how we can really emphasize it. It's hot. Even in parts of the country that are used to the hot, it's still extreme. I keep hearing about how this is the hottest stretch for most of the country with extended heat wave. Yeah, feeling it. I hope you're staying cool wherever you are. If you were inside Globe Life Field, because it is climate controlled inside. Now, the red carpet was not climate controlled, but if you were inside the stadium, well, then I hope you weren't so hot. The action itself, it was not quite as hot as the heat wave, but there were some good moments during the All-Star game for sure. And now we go into a few days where we have lots of speculation about trade deadline and the second half, not exactly halfway, but the second half of the Major League season. And about what might change, who might move, how rosters might look different. And even with the deadline in front of us, as opposed to in the rearview mirror, there are already teams making their, or excuse me, there are already analysts making their World Series predictions. No, it's the middle of July. It's highly unlikely that a lot of what is being regurgitated or spewed right now actually plays out according to prediction. I say this a lot about the NFL. When you make predictions, the NFL laughs in your face, but you're asking for it if you make a World Series prediction in July. At least wait until after the trade deadline, for heaven's sakes. So we're going to get to the All-Star game, the moments that I really appreciated. I'm sure many of you feel the same way about some of the moments where we got to see greats of the game, dignitaries. The stand up to cancer is always one of my favorites. I like how baseball and how the Rangers, as well as Globe Life Field, really embraced the opportunity to go cowboy. Remember Cowboy Up? And the 2004 Red Sox, for those of you who were around back then or were paying attention to baseball back then, goodness, Kevin Millar and Johnny Damon and the Red Sox who ended their 86-year drought, cowboy up. That includes Pedro Martinez. You should ask him about cowboy up one of these days. That's what I was thinking of when I was watching them embrace their inner cowboy for this All-Star game, which happened to be the 94th edition. Don't know why that stuck in my head. Paul Skeens, he wasn't around. Well, he wasn't part of baseball then, but he represents the future of the game, as do 30-plus first-time All-Stars. Pretty cool to see so many young guys in the game, and even if they aren't extremely young, to get some fresh faces, to get some new energy, like Jarren Duran, who is a longtime prospect, having a breakout season now at 27 years old for the Boston Red Sox, ends up with the Ted Williams All-Star Game MVP. So some really neat moments. I like seeing Juan Soto and Aaron Judge mic'd up together. They seem like they have a lot of fun. Well, and if you ever see them in the outfield at Yankee Stadium, the bleacher creatures and the fans who get their nods from every single position on the field. Those guys really interact with the fans as well, which is a lot of fun. And so we'll get to All-Star moments, plus the beginning of training camp. What? This is crazy. Seriously, it's July 16th. People are making way too early World Series predictions. And football is reborn. Patrick Mahomes talking about a three-peat. And this is where it begins. It's crazy stuff. And yet, I know a lot of you, you've been jonesing for it. As hot as it is, man alive. A lot of these athletes wear the monitors, whether on their wrists or somewhere on their clothing. When it comes to training camps, when it comes to establishing a baseline for athletic trainers to be able to monitor guys throughout the season, it's not just about vitals, it's about strength and conditioning and all of that stuff. The technology is really incredible now. Well, let's hope that they've got the technology to monitor how these guys are doing in the extreme heat. Because with training camps underway and college football, where they're 2 days, not far behind. Whew. I don't even like to go outside when it's this hot. We had triple digits in my neighborhood with the heat index. I think it was 95 and the heat index was 101 in my neighborhood on Tuesday. And I live in a cape. And so we constantly have the give and take, Bob and I. He's working downstairs where it's a lot colder. It's a relatively new air conditioning unit. It was just put in central AC 4 years ago when I bought the house. The owners that had it lived there for 40 years and never had AC. I know that Penny and I had to have AC before we started living there. And so we put in a central AC unit that was brand new just 4 years ago. And it works so incredibly well. It's awesome downstairs for the most part. But even though I've got all the vents closed, except for one in the kitchen, the downstairs is still really cold. The upstairs, it's a struggle to keep it cool because it's a cape and notoriously it's harder to keep them cool in the summertime because of the high roof and the slanted roof and all that jazz. Anyway, we have this constant give and take because he's working downstairs all day. I'm trying to sleep upstairs where it gets really hot and I have a hard time sleeping in the warm. So does he, actually. So upstairs, to turn the AC down to 67 is about what we need for me to sleep. Poor guy. Sometimes will be downstairs wearing long sleeves. Although not today. Today was one of those days where the blasting AC was okay. I can only imagine what our bill will be like during this heat wave when it comes to the electricity. But I know many people are battling the same. When we were saying our prayers together before he went to sleep, the first thing out of my mouth was, Lord, thank you for air condition. Uh-huh. Thank you. Thank you for air condition. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Glad to have you with us. It is the hump show, middle show of the work week. It is the dog days. It is a heat wave. And now we're post All-Star game, which means there's a few days where it's relatively quiet. You'll have some hoops from the WNBA, but also the run-up to USA basketball in the Olympics, right? So the men are in Abu Dhabi, and they're playing another tune-up game on Wednesday. It's a luxury that the women do not have, which, again, underscores why they wanted experience on the roster. I think the more you understand how abrupt it is for the women from the WNBA to drop their regular season, to get together for a relatively short camp, to then travel to Paris, try to get acclimated in France, only to dive right into the Olympic schedule. It's why the committee chose athletes who have experienced this in the past. The men have the luxury of being able to spend a couple weeks together in Vegas, then travel to Abu Dhabi, play a few games where obviously you've got a bunch of teams from around the world that are doing the same thing, and then to retire to France. so that they can be ready for the Olympics when they tip off. I'm not saying that the USA men are going to run the table or even that they're going to win. It's some stiff competition on the international stage, but they are better prepared because they've got more time and because they are able to play a bunch of games leading up to the Olympics and be overseas as well. So they're getting more acclimated. Adam Silver actually was talking after the NBA Board of Governors meeting on Tuesday about the Olympics and the fact that he will be in France, and he gave some of the numbers of the men and women who will be competing out of both the NBA and the WNBA. So Olympics are on the horizon, though I'm still blown away by the fact that so few Americans are making the trip to not just the games, but to visit Paris. It feels like a good opportunity to see what is usually tabbed as a popular vacation destination. So yeah, we've got Olympics coming up. We've also got the Open Championship that starts on Thursday. Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, always in the spotlight, not to mention world number one Scottie Scheffler, who will, I think, continue to use what is a methodical, relatively bottlenose dolphin. My spaghetti plate brain goes from steel to nose to bottlenose dolphin. I don't know how that happens. But yeah, there we've got the steel mind, the steel trap of Scottie Scheffler, who will certainly be one of those guys that is in the mix as well. He rarely has a blow up hole, but when he does, it's almost fascinating to watch because usually he's so methodical. So there's a lot that we can talk about. And I was thinking through July, and I mentioned my metaphor on last night's show where July is a pot of boiling water that hasn't quite come to a full boil. And you've got a lot that's happening under the surface, from football to baseball to obviously basketball. And then when you think about the Olympics that are on the horizon, not to mention USA Soccer or U.S. Soccer needs to come up with a new coach. There's a lot that's taking place. Even if it's not a full boil, it still demands your attention. Or maybe lava bubbling beneath the surface right before a volcano erupts. And then once we get into August and obviously on into September, there are more high-profile events that start to demand our attention. But as I was thinking about July, I know how much we love to rank them as sports fans, and it is frequent that fans or listeners on social media will get upset with me because I don't spend enough time talking about the sport that they love the most, right? In fact, last night it happened. Some guy yapped at me on Facebook, I think, because I wasn't talking about baseball, even though the hour before that I had talked about baseball. So it's not my fault if you miss it. I mean, you really should be listening more and tweeting less. But anyway, in the event that you think I don't talk about your favorite sport enough, here's your opportunity. And I'll put a spot up on both of our social. So on Twix, you can find our show account at Amy After Hours, and then also on our Facebook page, because I want you to combine one of your favorite pastimes as sports fans with Lintel. Top five sports. Your top five favorite sports. People ask me this question all the time, and I could tell you my favorite sport to watch. I could tell you my favorite sport to play. But I'm never going to tell you which sports I like the most to cover, don't want to cover, blah, blah, blah. That really defeats the purpose of being a host and trying to bring energy when it comes to everything. So you ask me this all the time. I'm asking you now to rank from 1 to 5 your favorite sports. Yes, in order. So don't give me the in no particular order. No, you got to put them in order. It'll be a fun exercise for tonight. Now, a bunch of you have asked me on social, when and how will you be handling Ask Amy Anything? Since it's generally part of our hump show, and yet without a steady producer, who knows how long it's going to take. It's highly discouraging and disheartening that the show isn't what it's supposed to be. But a lot of the bells and whistles that I will miss, a lot of the bells and whistles that we can't really do when we don't have a producer, I know that I hear them or I miss them. Many of you, as long as I'm here keeping you company, you're fine, which I appreciate. I do have a really high standard for myself, a really high standard for the show, and it's tough. I get frustrated with myself, frustrated with the show too, frustrated with the company, when I feel like I have to settle for something less than my high standards. But I know as my, and this actually happened during COVID as well, when I was doing shows from home and had no access to equipment for 2.5 months and felt like we were doing stripped down shows. I remember a former boss, I was talking to him and I was lamenting the fact that it felt like the shows were below par. And he said to me, you notice when audio or guests or other YouTube or social elements are missing, you notice when the music isn't right or when the production isn't the way that you would want it to, but, or want it to be. But most listeners, as long as you show up and you do your job and you talk, whether sports, whether something else, that's what they tune in for. People tune in for you. People don't tune in for the bells and whistles. So I appreciated that. And in the stretch where we're attempting to find a new producer and we've got a revolving door of people filling in, Colton is with us for the rest of the week, which I appreciate. This is what I have to remind myself. People tune in to hear quality sports talk and hear me. And as long as I can bring it, I will focus on that. As long as I can bring it, I hope that it's still a show that you will enjoy. But I am struggling a bit with the fact that it's not what I'm used to, nor is it really what I want. But in time for football, we will have a producer. I'm hanging on to that. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. On Twix, as I mentioned, our show account at Amy After Hours. I'll put a spot up there. Also on our Facebook page. And as for Ask Amy Anything, I don't know if this will work, but we will try it. If you want to send some questions to either of the accounts that I just mentioned, maybe in that spot where I normally would answer questions, post under the headline, under the umbrella of Ask Amy, I will just read them off the screen and answer them myself. So we'll see if we can get that done. I'm not married to it, so if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen, and that'll be okay. But I would like to try it just to see if it works. So I don't even have the bright orange box, the thought bubble that we usually use for Ask Amy. Again, things are woefully missing without a producer. Imagine, actually, this is really funny. Last night when I was talking about not having a producer and the fact that we're in the search to find one, there's a guy who is listening who does his own podcast and does a radio show, and it's a baby of his. I know he's reached out to me before. I've been on his show. And he tells me how many shows he's done. 450 shows, all solo. I book my own guests. I produce my own everything. La, 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 la. I do it all by myself. Well, apparently, I am not that talented. I actually can't reach with my go-go gadget arm. I can't reach from the studio into the control room to be able to run the soundboard and do everything else while hosting this here show. And so apparently, he's much more talented than I. I also appreciate how many of you are offering yourself as the next producer. And then when I respond with, do you have any radio experience? Oh, no. Oh, okay. So that's what you think of me in the show. I'll just pull some guy off the street, some gal off the street, throw her into the control room and say, go. Well, that wouldn't be a disaster. Not at all. Yeah, I appreciate your eagerness and the idea that you would love to work on this show and to do the job, but it actually isn't an entry-level position. There does need to be some experience and some skill at producing a radio show. Again, I can't do all of it. I would love to. I wish I was as experienced and as as able to multitask as our friend Chris, who does it all by himself. But I cannot. And the show content actually starts to suffer if I do too much. Yeah, I tried that during COVID too. Tried stretching myself out and doing a bunch of different stuff that wasn't under my heading or wasn't really my responsibility. And it turned into a mess because I was too stressed out and I didn't pay attention to what I was actually supposed to be doing on the air. So yeah, went through all of this during COVID. Didn't really want to go through it again. But all that to say, I'm here. I'm still grateful to have a job that I love every single day. The joy that I have, the passion for it will get us through this stretch. And at some point, when we do have a full-time producer, I'll introduce you to him or her, and we will start fresh and we'll get ready for football season. So in the meantime, we'll put up a couple posts on our social. I hope that you'll respond. We'll see what kind of chatter we can generate between Twix and Facebook and also our phone calls. And we'll dive in with the All-Star Game, which had some really cool moments, as well as the start of training camp. Believe it or not, you've already got Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid answering questions about the upcoming season. And then the British Open. And Tiger Woods still believes that he can win it. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Tuesday night as we head into a Wednesday morning. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The All-Star Game coming from deep in the heart of Texas. And boy, did they play up the cowboy angle. I was actually watching some of it with my husband, and he is from Texas, not from the Dallas area, but he is from Texas. And I asked him what he thought of them playing up the cowboy angle. And yeah, if that's how Globe Life Field and the Rangers want to set themselves apart, well, it certainly was memorable. Everything from the little cowboy hats they had for the kiddos who were greeting the All-Stars as they were introduced and coming onto the field, to the very impressive trick ropers. We're going to call them trick ropers. I'm not sure they were actually ropers, but ropers who were doing their tricks to line the walkway out of the dugout where the players were being introduced, to just some other elements that emphasize kind of that cowboy culture. I have no idea where the uniforms fit into that because they were awful. But the Texas and the country theme was alive and well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Shohei Ohtani with a 400-foot home run. Every game has to have an Ohtani moment. And he actually said afterwards that he felt like he hadn't hit very well in All-Star games to this point. So it was nice to have a breakout. A three-run shot for him. But it was later in the game that first-time All-Star and Red Sox center fielder Jarren Duran was able to mash a two-run blast of his own. And for that, as he breaks a tie with the National League, he earns the Ted Williams MVP honors. The final call there with Brian Anderson it was Joe Davis, right? Joe Davis, my fault. Sorry, Brian, and sorry, Joe. Joe Davis and John Smoltz on Fox Sports. So yeah, Jarren ends up winning that MVP. And in his emotions, it's kind of neat to think about where he's come from, and you can understand why it's emotional. Because at 27 years old, he's finally having a breakout year. He's a guy who has been a prospect, but had never quite lived up to either his expectations or those of the Red Sox or those of baseball until now. And finally making a name for himself. And the world, the baseball world, gets to know a little more about Jarren as he wins this All-Star MVP. He's brought some speed and athleticism to the Red Sox. It's one of the reasons why they had a real good late spring and have put themselves in the conversation in the American League East. And here he is as an All-Star Game MVP. Colton, if you want to play the one soundbite where he talks about his emotions.
That's not how I think about myself. So I'm definitely not thinking I'm the best of the best. You know, I'm a guy that keeps my head down and just works hard. You know, like, I don't like to think of myself better than anybody else, you know. So I'm just here to work hard, you know. I mean, there's so many good players in this league, like, and I'm just thankful that I can play against these guys.
Yeah, it was kind of fun to see. And really, that was one of the special elements of this game, is that there were 32 first-time All-Stars. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Just put a post up on our show Twix. So I will retweet it from my account too, so you can find it from either one. But the the question, it's not really a question. I guess it is a question, but you don't have to respond with an answer, more like a list. Looking for your top five favorite sports, because people are constantly saying to me, you don't talk about this sport enough, or you don't talk about this sport enough. You only talk about basketball. You only even talk about football. And please talk about this sport too. And so for that reason, you can give me a little intel here about your favorite sports. And I kind of feel like July is a buffet, a veritable smorgasbord. It's such a good word. Smorgasbord. I should have put that in the tweet, but I would have had to look up the spelling just to be sure. And I think Manny's voicing it or mouthing it to himself right now. Smorgasbord. I think it has one of those emphases that goes above a particular letter. I think it's two dots. I could be wrong. Now I'm going to have to look it up. But I think when you spell it, it's not an English word. Smorgasbord.
Yeah, I thought it was smorgasbord, not smorg. No, is smorgasbord.
Oh. Smorgasbord. Let's see. Yeah, smorgasbord. Nah, that's an actual proper name. Find out smorgasbord definition. Just to make sure this is why I didn't use it in the tweet, because I wanted to make sure I spelled it the right way. It's a buffet offering a variety of hot and cold meats, salads, hors d'oeuvres, etc., or a wide range of something, a variety. And that's what I feel about July in sports. Yeah, smorgasbord. Smorgasbord. You know when you say a word too many times and then it sounds like a word you've never heard before all of a sudden?
It sounds wrong, right?
It does. It sounds completely wrong. Yes. So smorgasbord is a proper name of a restaurant. People, you know when you Google something and you see the list of people also ask that feature on Google. I love that feature. So people also ask, what's the difference between a buffet and a smorgasbord? Would you like to know? Both concepts embrace variety. But the traditional buffet, like say Golden Corral. Ever been to a Golden Corral?
Yes.
We used to do that when I was a kid because you could get a lot of food for a little money. The traditional buffet tends to focus on larger portions, whereas is it a tilde? I don't know if that's called a tilde.
No, a tilde is in Spanish.
The tilde is the little squiggly line, right?
Well, it's also the accent mark that you see over like Rodriguez has.
Gracias.
The accent mark.
Gracias.
Over the
yeah. Yeah, okay. So the smorgasbord has the two dots over the O. Oh, I knew it. Whereas the smorgasbord promotes a more nosh-sized dining style. Wow, you learn something new every day. It's akin to the difference between sampling appetizers and loading up on mains. So that's it.
Place of origin, Sweden.
See, it has accent marks. We are loading up on... No, I take it back. Loading up on mains comes in October. We are sampling appetizers and sports this month. So smorgasbord away. Anyway, want to know your top five favorite sports. So I did retweet, and you can find it on my account, my Twix, at A-Law Radio. I didn't have a chance to put it up yet on our Facebook page, but I will. So that'll be fun, because if you answer, I'll answer. How about that? Also, while you're on my Twix, you have to look at the photo of the Death Star. It's in Germany. It's for those of you who are Star Wars fans, we found it. The Death Star is in Germany. Just going to take my word for it and check it out. Here, I'll retweet it just because it's so fun. All right. Let's see. A little more baseball, because Paul Skeens and Aaron Judge, it happened for all of one pitch. Could he not have taken a couple pitches? For heaven's sakes, they had barely stopped talking about how it was the matchup everyone wanted to see, and then it was done. It was over. What happened to being patient at the plate? No. That was kind of a wah, wah, wah moment. We're glad to have you with us. Thanks for hanging out for the Hump Show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. On second thought, maybe, just maybe, I should have phrased our show question a little differently. I'm already seeing some of your answers, and I love the fact that we all have different favorite sports, okay? That's what makes the world go round. We're different. We have different opinions, different likes, different dislikes. But in asking you your top five favorites, ranking your favorite sports in order, one through five, I was thinking, well, maybe I'll get a picture, some type of a snapshot of what you would most like to hear about, except I can guarantee you right now, as much as I do appreciate that Craig answered with luge as his number one, I will not be spending more time talking about luge. Although I do enjoy watching it sometimes while holding my breath. So Craig goes with luge, track and field, which I do love, especially in the Olympics, figure skating, basketball, and speed skating. All right, Craig. Well, thank you for listening anyway, even though we talk mostly about basketball on your list. There's not a whole lot on the other. Raul on Twix says cricket. Right. So we don't have a prominent cricket league here in the United States, so it's probably not going to be on our list of new sports to dive into. Two is tennis. We do talk a lot about tennis. Three is table tennis. Uh-huh. Four is soccer. I like soccer. Five is volleyball. When I talk about soccer, sometimes people yell at me. Not that I care, really. As long as you're engaged and listening, that's what matters most to me. One more, Alec on Twix. Soccer, football, hockey, lacrosse, baseball. All right, can't make everyone happy. While you're sending me your top five sports, awesome. The post is now up on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I would love if you would send questions for Ask Amy Anything. I haven't decided if I'm going to put a post up. We'll just see. We'll see how many of you are listening to the sound of my voice. And if you are and you send your questions, then I'll know. I'll know that you didn't just see it on social. In fact, that you're listening to what I'm saying. I'm just going to answer them kind of off the cuff here on the show. If we get enough. If we don't, well, then I'll just tell a story or something. 855, you know I do that. 855-212-4227. It is our hump show. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Paul, who's in Charlotte. Would you like to talk about smorgasbords?
Smorgasbord, yes, Amy. Calling from the shadow of the Charlotte Motor Speedway, your friend Paul here in Charlotte, North Carolina. But basically, smorgasbord is a Swedish term, mm-hmm. which basically means a butter goose table. It's very similar to a buffet, but smorgas means kind of butter goose. And board, of course, means board. So it kind of refers to like a sandwich platter almost with sandwiches sliced on a board. So it's kind of similar to a buffet, but much more refined and kind of more gourmet in a way. Mm. The two little dots are very common in German and the Norwegian kind of Slavic languages. They're called umlauts, and they basically kind of change the way vowels are pronounced. So like... the word in German for beautiful is S-C-H-O-N, which is Sean. If you put the umlauts over it, it sounds more like schön. So if I said, Sie sind sehr schön, that means you are very beautiful. So that's
thank you.
That's a little bit about smorgasbord and about umlauts. So thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Thank you for the intel, Paul. It's good to talk to you in Charlotte. Again, 855-212-4227. Doc is in Wisconsin. I miss Wisconsin. I did not visit last year and probably won't get there this year, but goodness, first time other than COVID that I haven't been to Wisconsin in back-to-back years and gosh, probably the last two decades. Hi, Doc.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm great. Thank you.
I love your show.
I appreciate that.
Whenever I can't sleep, I listen to Amy Lawrence.
Boom.
Boom. Exactly. Well, what I wanted to tell you is if you have a problem with your house being too hot upstairs, you just get a window fan and put it in the window where you sleep, pointing out, and turn it on full blast.
Uh-huh.
And it'll bring all the cold air up from downstairs. And you might need to put another fan downstairs.
Wait, hold on. Hold on. So you want me to open the window while I'm running the AC and blast the air outside?
Yes, you take the hot air out. You want to get rid of it.
Well, I appreciate that, but while I'm running the AC and it's 100 degrees outside, I'm not opening the window.
No, you. I'm telling you, this works. Well, I grew up in a time before we had air conditioning, and this is how we used, because the basement was cold.
Right.
And upstairs was unbelievably hot. Nobody could sleep.
Right.
So you put a fan, a window fan, you know, a box fan that fits into the window. Facing out.
Yeah.
Turn it on full blast. And then you might need to put a fan down at the bottom of the stairs pointing up, but it takes the hot air out of the house. And it actually will reduce the load on your air conditioner because you're getting rid of the hot air. Unless you have an attic fan, which, you know, most people don't.
Well, that's what we had when I was a kid growing up in New Hampshire. We did not have AC in our house because then there would maybe be 2-3 weeks out of the entire summer that would be unbearable. But we had Yeah, we had one of those attic fans that would pull the hot air out.
It's the same principle.
Yep.
It's the same way it works.
I gotcha. But we weren't running AC at the time. I feel like my electric bill will be a lot higher if we open up a window while we're running the AC.
No. Because you're blowing the hot air out. Trust me. It works.
Well, I like the idea of putting a fan at the bottom of the stairs to draw some of the cooler air up. That part I like.
But you got to get rid of the hot air.
So
I'm just saying.
Well, then I shouldn't talk at the house at all.
In the window.
Okay.
Trust me, it works.
Well, I do appreciate that, and I like the concept. But again, I'm not running my AC on full blast and opening up a window.
You have to get the hot air out of the house.
What if it's already out of the house and I let it in by opening up the window?
No, you won't let any. If you understand the concept, the fan is blowing air out the window, so the hot air can't come in.
Oh, fantastic.
It blows out. What happens, it creates a low pressure in the house, in the upstairs.
Yeah.
And so there's nothing for the air downstairs to do but come upstairs and cool your room. Just give it a shot,
all right,
will you, for a couple days?
Oh, a couple days. Okay. Well, maybe just try it one night when it's warm, when my husband and I are on the same schedule.
I'm telling you, it works.
All right, you know? Sir. What part of Wisconsin are you in?
Kenosha.
Kenosha, gotcha. Well, I do miss
Southeast corner.
Yep, I remember.
Right by Lake Michigan.
Uh-huh, awesome.
And, so, anyway.
Thank you for listening.
I just trying to help.
No, I appreciate that so much. Yes, I definitely will try it sometime.
Well, you have to.
Okay.
I mean, I'm telling you, it will work. You'll be amazed.
All right.
And you won't let any hot air in if the fan is blowing out the window. You got to get a box fan that fits in the window.
Oh, okay.
You know?
All right. I'm going to work on this. I'm going to tell my husband all about it.
Okay.
Thank you, Doc. I appreciate it.
All right. And my favorite sport, no matter what, is baseball, but then it's football, and then probably NBA basketball. And, well, of course, WNBA too now. Mm. You know, I mean, we didn't used to be able to watch that, but
yeah, it's everywhere now.
Exciting.
Man, it's on every single night on national TV at some point.
No, that's right. It's good. It's good news. It's good news because I always like women's basketball because they know how to shoot.
It's true. They're mid-range jumpers in women's hoops.
Well, they can't dunk, but they can shoot, you know?
Yeah. All right, sir. Good to talk to you. Thanks so much for your phone call.
Stay cool.
Yeah. And then he laughs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Oh, my gosh. Some of you get so mad at me for saying Twix. What is the big deal? Who cares? I can't believe something like that could bother you so much. I don't think I'll stop. I think I kind of appreciate the responses that you give me that are just so angry over something so stupid. It feels like there are a lot of other ways and other better usages of your emotion. It's just a dumb word. Who cares? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook, and a bunch of you are responding with your top five sports, and some guy writes and says, not in order. Here's your sign. The whole point is to put them in order. That's the point, is because I want to know which sports are your favorite. So James, nope, not that one. If you could please put them in order. William on Facebook goes with football. Boom. Baseball, golf, This is my favorite. Female softball. Not male softball. Female softball. So is male softball beer league? Because I don't know that I've ever talked about men playing softball before on this show, as in ever. And then he says bowling. And he also includes emojis. Oh, yeah, brownie points if all of your answers are in emojis. Mike goes with soccer, auto racing, football, golf to play, not to watch. Richard says football, hockey, baseball, basketball, golf. I like it. All right, keep it going. Top five sports in order. That's 1 hour down. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.